thank you, everyone, for getting on our show. We really appreciate your support. However you found it, you can always contact Little Tom and myself at littletomandpaul@gmail.com. That's spelled the most obvious possible way.
Yeah, absolutely. And once you have contacted us, we will contact you right back.
We will, because it's not as though there's a lot of competition right now.
For our attention.
Seriously, you can send us one sentence and be the bane of our lives.
I would love to know that one person was listening to the show. I would love to have infallible proof.
Actually, we know that at least one person is listening, and hi, Mom. Thank you for listening.
Oh, you finally got your mom to sign up. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, so at least she can do it.
Yeah.
when I looked on FeedBurner, and it actually seems that we still have only 2 subscribers, which means that my mom must have unsubscribed.
Which, again, was the least she could do.
All right.
That was pretty much the least, yeah.
It's all right. We'll get over it.
I want to be a dependent filmmaker. I want to make films that absolutely rely on something else, that cannot stand on their own at all.
That's an interesting idea. Apart from the way films are dependent on an audience?
Oh, I want them to be dependent on everything. I want no part of the film to have... anything on its own that it can rely upon.
Ooh, that's interesting. Such as...
Yeah, I want to...
like... I think you might be confused.
Like the really emotional scene? Yeah. Like the really emotional scene will be where the guy says, "Hey, you remember that book that I read? I feel just like that." So in order to find out why he's upset, you have to do a lot of work.
Oh, geez, that's
extremely dependent.
That is incredibly dependent. You could watch a movie, and like for the entire movie, they're just discussing a book. They never mention the title, and they can't remember the characters' names. It's just. Do you remember? Do you remember when he gets in the plane and flies away? It's unbelievable. And we could do that for... I know, and she was so upset. Which one was she? You know, not the one with the horse. The other one. Oh, yeah. The other lady. She was great.
With a slam, I said thank you for your interest, young man. While preparing his soul for a perilous slide in the crime, he had decided that he would err on his side of divine. Being told, this was wise, that they'd be paid back with interest in due time. So I.
So you know how, like, in the political spectrum, I come out, I lean left, but I'm pretty solidly right in the middle, at least from my own perspective, okay?
All right, I would disagree. I think that you're a pinko pig, but whatever. Go ahead.
Call me pinko maggot. Right, exactly. So, like, well, I'm not, like, out hugging trees and like, throwing pig blood on Lee Iacocca. Like, you know, I'm sort of in the middle, and I'm not being really activistic.
Okay. I mean,
okay.
Just for the sake of argument that our show is more fair and balanced than, say, Fox News, I'll let you have that.
Okay, I'm gonna say we're balanced, but it's totally unfair. That's where I think we are. We're totally balanced, but it's completely unfair.
And we don't give a damn.
We're balanced, but we show our favoritism.
We sure do.
I like both of my children the same, but I let one of them know. Okay.
All right.
So here's the thing, is that I was talking to this guy that is basically like just the opposite of me, like very centralized but leaning right, okay?
All right.
And here, this was the problem was, you know, we were trying to have this, like, this political argument. And the thing is that there was no place that we could start from to, like, start a dialogue. I would say, well, I've heard a lot of scientists talk, and they think, hey, the planet is getting warmer.
Yes.
Through science. But the other guy is like, yeah, but I've heard different other scientists say, the planet is not getting warmer from science. So, like, okay, another great example is we were talking about, like, well, not even, like, the right or wrong of it. We were talking about whether or not torture works.
Okay?
And, again, I was like, I have evidence that suggests that torture is not the best way of getting actionable intelligence. And he's like, oh, contraire, my friend, have you read the so-and-so? And so this is the thing, is that, like, if there's no... I'm trying to figure out what the common denominator is. Like, how far do you have to go to find something we both can agree on? Like, I think oxygen is good for breathing.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
I mean, I honestly think you have to go back that far and start rebuilding from there.
What a beautiful face I have found in this place that is circling all around the sun. What a beautiful dream that could flash on the screen in a blink of an eye and be gone from me. Soft and sweet, let me hold it close and keep it here with me. And one day we will die, and our ashes will fly from the aeroplane over the sea. But for now we are young, let us lay in the sun and count every beautiful thing we can see. Love to be in the arms of all I'm keeping here.
It's time for a random sampling.
Okay.
And we're going to expand it just a little bit. I need you to pick four items that you have purchased in the last month.
Last month. Okay. I've got my items.
Okay. First of all, of these four items, how many of them are decorative items?
Ooh, I'm going to say one.
Okay, one. Of the four items, how many of them are plastic? Or mostly plastic?
Three,
okay. How many of these items are winter clothing?
Zero.
And how many of these items are food?
Ah, damn, I didn't think that food counted. It's zero.
Zero, okay. So, here's what I have come up with. Okay. Let's go through again. All right, so for decorative, you had one item.
Yes.
For plastic, you had three.
Correct.
For winter clothing and food, you had no.
Zip, zilch, zero.
Okay, so based on that, I'm going to guess that for the last month, you have been cold and hungry. That one quarter of your income goes to decorations.
Wow.
And now, that...
Now I sound like a certain someone else.
And I'm also going to guess that in the... that part of the reason that you're cold and hungry is that you can't burn anything that you... You can only burn one quarter of what you've purchased because the rest is plastic.
That's very true. That's very true.
Can't burn plastic for fuel, Paul.
No, I cannot. And actually, I can't really burn the other thing because it's made of metal. Sadly, it would just get really hot.
So all four of those items are probably cold to the touch.
Oh yes, everything. I like my things cold and impersonal.
You don't realize that Paul lives in a meat locker.
I live in that house that Cameron lived in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It was basically the ultimate yuppie steel box. Would you like to know what the items were?
I want to add one more question before I find out what they are, because I want to see if my extrapolation from last time continues to hold true.
Okay.
How many of those items are French in origin?
Oh, jeez. None.
Because you hate the French.
I do. Apparently, by polling. Polling, I hate the French.
Paul Hathaway loves the ladies and hates the French.
Oh, well.
Okay, so tell me, what were the items?
Well, the first one was my fantastic GE brand computer microphone, which you can see at our blog spot place. It's Better Bitter Blog, otherwise known as bbbpodcast.blogspot.com. Like that segue, mm-hmm. Don't you? Yeah, now this is not as interesting as I thought it would be. So I'll just skip on to the fourth item, which is a copy of The Rock starring Sean Connery.
Gentlemen, welcome to The Rock.
I knew you wouldn't let me down.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
Sean Connery, could you please enlighten me as to the difference between winners and losers?
Losers complain about trying their best. Winners go home and pork the prom queen.
Excuse me, girl. I know it's a bit embarrassing, but I just noticed some timelines on your shirt.
See, I reckon you're about an 8 or a 9. Maybe even 9.5 in 4 beers time. That blue top shop top you've got on is nice. Bit too much fake tan though, but yeah, you score high. But there's just one little thing that's really, 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 really annoying me about you, you see. Yeah, yeah, like I said, you are really fit. But my gosh, don't you just know it?
I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit, you're fit, but my gosh, don't you know it?
So when I looked at you standing there with your hoard, I I was waiting in the queue looking at the ball, wondering whether to have a burger or chips, or what the shrapnel in my back pocket could afford. When I noticed out the corner of my eye, looking toward my direction, your eyes locked on my course. I couldn't concentrate on what I wanted to order, which lost me my place in the queue I waited for. Yeah.
I'm not trying to fool you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit. You're fit, but my gosh, don't you know it?
Whoa.
Leave it out.
Are you smoking crack or something?
Just leave it.
So what's the next topic, Tommy?
Next topic. Oh, the former occupant of your apartment there.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's time for a new segment of Paul's Apartment is Whack.
Paul's Apartment is Whack. Paul's Apartment is Whack. Take a step back. Let him tell you about it. Let him tell you about it. Let him tell you about it, because it is funny.
Alright, so now, Paul's apartment is whack, and today, we're gonna go look into the wonderful world of, the extraordinary for home and garden, with Design Toscano. That's right, this is a catalog that is delivered to me every month, thanks to the Careless Fairy who used to live here. who did not leave a forwarding address, and now I have to deal with all of his mail. So I'm going to mock him openly on my podcast, which is petty and sad, but also funny. All right. All right. So, all right. Design Toscano is an heirloom decor with enduring appeal catalog, and it has everything ranging from the completely absurd to the incredibly homoerotic. And it's just
like a lot of like reimagining of the Statue of David.
Yes.
More profound in parts.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's Michelangelo's Dave.
it's the kind of thing that you would shove under a roommate's pillow when his parents were coming over, just to...
That was a Taurus, by the way.
Oh.
That car that... that car that just, like, tried to fling manliness all over the place passing me. That was an elderly Ford Taurus. Loud passing is all that guy has.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean... That is the sound of a man who has finally paid off his 1987 Taurus. It is time to abuse this car. All right. So anyway, Design Toscano. Let me read for you The Zombie of Montclair Moors.
Is that like French British?
I don't know. It's like I thought the Moors were something that like was in Scotland, or is it Ireland? I don't know. I'm American. I don't know anything about other places.
All right.
So okay. So now this is a three-dimensional sculpture. It's life size, and it basically depicts a zombie, but it only depicts the shoulders, head and arms of a zombie, creating the illusion that there is a zombie crawling its way out of the ground of your garden. I don't know what kind of a sick jerk thought this thing up. His name's Alan Dickinson. Anyway, I don't know. he's credited here. Like, you'd think he would take his name and just like. And instead of having his name, it would just be some kind of an art house that produces this tacky crap. But no, I'm just going to put his name right on there. Anyway, this is the kind of thing that evil people buy and leave lying about in cemeteries to permanently destroy children's lives. I think that's what this is. There's nothing remotely ironic about it. It's meant to be horrifying.
Do they have a smaller version you can put on top of wedding cakes?
Oh, that's fantastic. That's really great. It's like, dear Scott and Diane, on your special day, we've decided to depict your wedding, your bond, your union in the eyes of God. Or rather, I guess, under the eyes of God, as a corpse clawing its way back to the surface. That's good. That's good. You should be a wedding planner.
I'm a zombie now and I'm gonna get you, baby. Get stuck in your head, gonna break your bones, gonna rip your eyes out from your hole. Gonna get you, baby. Don't try to give me your keys, I just want to get back at you.
I honestly believe if next time you're talking to your centrist but leaning right friend, who that categorization doesn't seem to have a lot of meaning to me personally, but it's a good way to identify. It's a good way to identify someone who is a rabid Republican but is trying, or is a party line towing moron, but is trying to seem like a civil human being. Okay, they're centrist leaning right, whatever you want to call them. But you tell this douchebag friend of yours. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I have to be. We as pinko commies have to be the bigger people. Because our opponents are so rabidly afraid of us.
Because we admit that they have the right not to be the bigger people.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, look at, not to get into Ann Coulter again, every time I start talking about Ann Coulter, I have to cut it out of the show. Every show, listeners, has had an Ann Coulter section that I feel I go completely over the line and have to cut out. So
plus, you always make that sound like you just hit your face with a Buick.
You know what I'm going to do? At one point, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to put all my feelings of Ann Coulter on little index cards, and I'm going to put them out in front of me, and I'm going to organize them into something, and I'm going to repeat it over and over again to myself, so that when we record the next podcast, I don't end up calling people pigs. you know.
Skirtito con.
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry, but in answer to your previous question, I believe that if you have a conversation about what liberal and what conservative means, and then say, okay, what is traditionally conservative from a point of view on this topic, and discuss it not about his opinion, but about what the traditional, you know, and if anyone needs a reminder of what traditional conservative and traditional liberal means, they should listen to the Nixon and Kennedy debates. It was like, that was the last time we had a decent conversation about it. That was the last time. You know, it was the last time Nixon said, I think people should pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And Kennedy says, I don't believe everybody has bootstraps, sir. That was
I believe that these U.S. Americans would have pulled themselves up by their bootstraps if they had them, but... As such, they cannot... what was the question again, please?
I'm sorry, the blonde in the third row is killing me.
Now, that would have been something awesome. How would JFK have reacted to being stuck in a room with Ann Coulter? I mean, I think he would have been very torn.
I think the profanity in that situation would be outrageous. Because, okay, he wouldn't be able to resist her. Well, he wouldn't be, first of all, he wouldn't be able to resist her because, well, she's technically female. So she would not be able to resist the first person to ever make tender romantic preludes to her for the since she was in high school. However, neither of them would have been able to stop berating the other for how they're destroying America. And
it might have ended up in cannibalism.
Country, baby, don't you wanna go? I'm going up the country, baby, don't you wanna go? I'm going to some place where I've never been before. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. I'm going.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for this edition of Quite a Bit of Banter. As sure as your interest rate will be going up on your adjustable rate mortgage, this is Little Tom.
And this is Paul.
Reminding you to go ahead to our Better Bitter blog, which you can find at
bbbpodcast.blogspot.com.
And remember, keep frowning.
Keep your pants on while you're frowning. Pantsless smiling people piss me off.
That's true. Now, if you're going to keep your pants off, you're probably not frowning.
No. In fact, I'm a never nude like that guy in Arrested Development. Except I use a Speedo. I don't know. It's easier to clean under.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.